Now these preachers had it right. You know, if you just hear about it and you've not experienced it, you just don't know. Amen. But if you've been born again, if you're sitting here tonight and you've been set free, you know what we're talking about. Amen. That's right. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. Well, I almost dread to get into this. Y'all a little quiet on me here. But I guess maybe I need to perk you up. I'm not going to preach as good as you already heard. But maybe the Lord will help us. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. Praise God. I saw, you see these bumper stickers, no fear, all over the place. I don't understand what that means. I saw one the other day, made more sense. It said, ain't scared. But when I get up here facing, I get a little scared sometimes when I get up here. You just don't know. This ain't book report I'm giving. I used to about faint doing a book report on Huck Finn. Amen. But carry the word of God up here, you know, and have to give it to eternal souls. You know y'all are eternal souls. And I don't want to depress you, but you're dying too. That's right. Every breath, you're counting them off here. And I am too. And brother, when you realize, you know, that you're like that chaplain in the military was a Baptist preacher. And he said when he become a chaplain, said he wasn't even saved. He was in the group and all, but wasn't even saved till he got over there and they made a chaplain out of him because he was ordained minister. But I wasn't even saved till I got over there and got to trying to help these boys and some of them dying and me realizing I was the only. He said I just went in and got saved. He said I got saved right there on the front lines and said and then I was where I could help people. Amen. And he said, I realized, I'll never forget what he said. He said, I realized when I got up that morning that I was a dying man preaching to dying men. Amen. He made it out of there. A lot of them didn't, but he did make it out. Amen. But I realized that here tonight. This is important service. Amen. I mean, we can't just, you know, dwell on it and go have a nervous breakdown. We got to trust the Lord to help us. But it is a crucial service. Amen. It is. It is. Acts chapter 1, I'm going to preach about something here that probably will fit right in. So you just pray for me. Amen. Chapter 1 of the book of Acts in verse number 9, we'll begin reading. And this is Christ out on the Mount of Olives. He's rose from the dead. He's met with his disciples. And now he's came to this Mount of Ascension, it's called, Mount of Olives. Just a little while, he'd been where he'd grown and prayed and turmoil. Now he's coming out here, and I want you to notice, look what happens here. Standing on the Mount of Olives, and he was standing with his disciples. He instructed them about tarrying at Jerusalem until they be endued with the Holy Ghost. He told them what was going to happen in verse 8. Since ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's what he told this band of 11 men now standing around that had been with him through thick and thin, and they'd prevailed. And now they were standing there watching him. And he told them they was going to receive the Holy Ghost, and he wanted them to go work. And the whole world was their field. And while he was standing there watching them, the Bible said, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. He disappeared right before their eyes. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went, two men stood by them in white apparel. They were still gazing into the clouds, watched Jesus had disappeared, and these two men, angels, have you, slipped in beside of them and said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Y'all believe that? Amen. I want you to look at that phrase in this scripture that those angels asked them, "Why stand ye here gazing in the heaven? Why stand ye here gazing?" I want you to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 20. Chapter 20, if you want to read those first few verses later, I'm going to slip down for the sake of just getting into things here. And let me begin reading with verse 6. "And about the 11th hour," now how many is familiar with me know that the work day was 12 hours. And they were at the 11th hour. So they had one more hour to work, and the day was over. And it says, "About the 11th hour, he went out," this Lord of the field, "he went out at the 11th hour and found others standing idle. And he said unto them," remember what I read in the other verse? "Why stand ye here gazing?" And now he's looking at these men in the marketplace, standing around the marketplace, hands in their pockets, just milling around. And this lord, landlord, or whatever they call it here, householder, vineyard keeper, he looks at these men idling around, and he says, "Why stand ye here idle? Why are you not working in the field?" It didn't seem right. It didn't seem like the thing to do. There's only one more hour to work. I know he said, but look, we've got one more hour. Some people says, "Well, there's just an hour. Why do anything?" And others say, "Well, we just got an hour. We better get with it." Huh? Here these men allow hour, and he asked them, "Why are you standing here idle?" "Well, nobody's hiring us." You ever see anybody around church? "Well, I'm going to find me a church where there's something to do." "Why stand you here idle?" I know. Now stay with me here. Praise the Lord. You ain't got nowhere to go, I reckon. I'm going to preach to you. "Why stand you here idle?" He worked 1 hour in the field, and when time came, he had already contracted it out to those previous ones for a penny. It's a day's work, one penny for 12 hours. When this man worked 1 hour, he paid him a penny also. Caused a stir. Amen. Caused a stir. But the point he was trying to make was, amen, you just do what the Lord bids you to do and you'll get paid. 1 hour, you'll get paid. But here's the point I want to, and I think you see the scripture that I'm aiming at. Why stand you here gazing? Why stand you here idle? Idle in the marketplace. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not real smart, and everybody says amen. But I'm going to tell you, amen, if nobody goes to the field, there ain't going to be no need to go to the marketplace after a while. There ain't going to be nothing in the market. Amen? That's the way it is at church. If we all just come and sit around and become an old spectator in the Tater family, huh? After a while, there won't be nothing in the marketplace to eat. Come on now, children, help me preach a little. I'm going to give you a title here in just a minute. I want to preach on two words that sound alike that are my message tonight. Amen. I want to preach on a resolve. Resolve. Now, I know you may, I'm going to define that word for you a little bit, but you heard that word a lot if you listen to the news. During 9/11, you heard our President Bush get on there, and he talked about the enemy attacking those Twin Tower buildings, and how he said we must get a resolve as a nation to defend ourselves and to fight against our enemy. And he kept talking about a resolve, a resolve, a resolve. And man, I that's a word I hadn't heard a whole lot about. But a resolve is just a determined effort to get the job done no matter what the cost. Stay with me now. Praise God. That is a resolve. A resolve is kind of like that. What was that man's name on one of those airplanes when they realized they'd been hijacked and they were going toward the Pentagon there over Pennsylvania somewhere? What was the man's name that looked at the others and said, let's roll? Huh? Todd Beamer. Amen. On a plane, I don't remember how many was on that plane that died. Maybe you remember. But he called his wife and he said his farewells to her, and he looked at those men around and he realized, if we don't act now, they're going to go into this building and many be destroyed. And so he got a resolve in his heart to do and make a move. Come on now. Say with me. Are you going to help me preach a little bit tonight? Amen. And so he said, let's roll. And so he got a resolve, amen, that the job's got to be done no matter what the cost. Amen. But we're in an age, amen, where folks have come and want to be part of the audience. Huh? How many know? And I've caught myself lately, Brother Robert, saying in prayer, here, you may have heard me say it, Lord, I appreciate this audience. I don't know why I've switched from congregation to audience. It might be because that's what you've turned into. Huh? How many knows what an audience is? An audience is just someone, an audio, who comes to what? Listen. And y'all have told me that sometimes when you get quiet and dead like this, you'll say, we're listening. But I'm going to tell you something. If listening's all you ever do, you ain't going to make it to heaven. Brother Randy, on the 4th of July, here I am meddling again, brothers. I ain't on a holiday. Can you believe that? Huh? I said, if all you do, the Bible said it's not the hearer of the word that's justified, but what? All right, I want to preach on a resolve to get involved. Got it? A resolve, that is a determination, no matter what the cost, to get involved. That's what these men, amen, right here in my text, Acts 1:11, amen, the Lord had done told them, Brother Tommy, what he wanted them to do. How many has got some orders from headquarters? Now, I know I ordered you this morning. I set you up for that, Matt. You going to forgive me? I didn't know it was going to break open on you, buddy. Huh? How many of you God has spoke to? Hell, I ain't told you something to do. You ain't amen to me. I know he has. I know good and well he has. If you're saved, he has. Amen. That's right. But you see, we've got that audience mentality. It used to be we come to church to experience the presence of God. We didn't just come to hear and to see and be seen and look around and granny neck and see what's the newest style. Amen. I love you now. I just thought I'd confirm that. Amen. But we came to experience God. Amen. Paul said, I come not to you with enticing words of men's wisdom. Amen. How many knows, amen, that they were complaining about Paul? They said his eyes are weak. His speech is contemptible. He's just a little old shrimpy guy. And we don't even like the way he talks. And he said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of men's wisdom. I didn't come to impress you with my personality and my televangelist hairdo. Amen. I come to tell you the truth. Somebody say amen. He said, I come in a demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to our little church right here if we don't start, quit being an audience at church and start getting back to being a congregation again who comes to respond to the Word of God and comes to yield to the Spirit of God and don't come to see, amen, how good I'm going to do in preaching, because I may not do all that hot, but I'm going to tell you the truth, and if you love the truth, it ought to shake you up a little bit. Hallelujah. Now, where do we get this resolve to get involved? We've got to break away. Hey, you know what? I feel sorry for poor old preachers. They're trying to compete with television. Everybody just watches that. Those good-looking guys on that TV and that production, and hey, don't you know all that's fake? Huh? That poor old lady come to church that time and requested prayer for somebody on one of the soap operas that was dying of cancer or something. Didn't she know that wasn't real? And here we are. You look at so much production and so much fake and false, and people have heard every bit of news. I got up this morning, went over the talking points, amen, about freedom, and y'all done heard it all. He was gaping and yawning, and eyes rolled back in your head. I thought we was going to have to call an EMT we're going to get involved, we're going to have to get rid of the audience mentality. Before we've done come, we bought a ticket, we're going to sit down, we're going to watch the show. And we're going to walk out. I didn't do too good today. But singing was a little off today. Something's wrong with Brother Mike's voice. But you feeling okay, Brother Robert? You ever have him ask you that? You sung like he's a little sick tonight. I don't know if I've ever said that, but I've had him tell me that. I had a fella call me one time, and he loved my preaching, he said. And he called and got all the tapes of the revival where I went and preached, and I'd done my best. And he said, Brother Webb, I got your tapes of that revival. Was you not feeling good? I thought, well, I'm starting to feel a little bad now that you mention it. He said, I told my wife, that don't even sound like Brother Webb. He can do better than that. Huh? Hey, it's hard to come and you grade my paper every Sunday and just yawn and stretch and then go on back to the house just like you came. Somebody say amen. I'll tell you what you need. You need a resolve. You need it when you come to the house of God. I think about my little sister set over in here, Brother Kenny. When you hauled her down here to church, buddy, she had a determination in her mind. I'm going to get in when I get there, because it might be the last time I get there. And so she came for 10 years with her hands in the air and dancing down the aisle. Amen. And patting people on the back and working at school and encouraging her brother. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. I'd like for us to get a little pickup in us, a little resolve. Amen. They asked these men, hey, look, I told you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Why are you gazing into the heaven? Amen. It's time to get busy. Hallelujah. I wish somebody say amen. I tell you, we got a great church. I wouldn't trade you for two more. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'll tell you this right now. Amen. God wants us to quit gazing into what used to be and get busy at what's at hand. Hallelujah. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost right here. Woo, hallelujah. I look at all these thoroughbreds on the front line, big broad shoulders and strong backs and wise mind. Look at that guy. There's intelligence in them eyes. Amen. I can't tell you. I can't wait to see them get prayed through the Holy Ghost, full of sanctifying power. Amen. And get on their feet and fight for God. Come on now. I'll tell you, we need a resolve. Every last one of you. Amen. Need a resolve in this house to get involved in the work of the Lord. Now, I'm going to preach to you a little bit. I think I am. But I'm going to tell you something. How do you do that in a service? Let me just give you a few instructions. How do you do that in a service? Well, I'll tell you what. If I was grading your paper tonight, you'd have got a D minus. Huh? Woo, no election here. I just want you to know that right now. Praise God. What do you mean? That means when somebody gets up singing, amen, a good old song like a page 130. I never shall forget the day. Praise God. When I look back over this audience, hey man, I don't know if y'all can even remember where you live or not, let alone the day you got saved. It's pitiful. You say, brother, you're breaking the bark. Pardon for the visitors. Just clock this out. I'm just trying to shear my sheep here. Not skinning them now. I don't want to kill them. I just want to shear a little wool here. Maybe a little wool for the winter. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you something. When they sing, I never shall forget the day, we ought to at least open one eye and look around. Amen. And say, hey, I did get right one day. You see, when we get involved, amen, we ought to come to the house of God. We ought to already said our prayer. When the preacher got up, amen, he probably didn't take 15 minutes. What in the world is 15 minutes? Amen. In a holiness meeting. Come on now. I'll tell you what, when the man of God said we ought to prevail, his house ought to rumble with a hallelujah. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Take to heart what the man of God is saying and apply it to your heart and respond to what you've heard. Amen. When I got up this morning and drug that old sand-ridden flag over here, every patriot in the house should have jumped to their feet and saluted and said, thank God for America. But we're just so lazy. Amen. Come on now. And so indifferent. Amen. We're just like an audience. We paid our 10%. Now bless us if you can. Do a backflip. And next Sunday, a cartwheel. I'll tell you, I'm about to get wore out. It's time you responded to a feeble sermon I've Why are you standing here? The 11th hour. Stay with me now. The 11th hour in the marketplace, standing around, idle. And the Lord asks, why are you standing here idle? Why? You girls been raised? Rebecca, can I preach on you girls over here a little bit? You won't get mad at me, will you? Huh? You little girls raised in the house of God, hauled to church, sat on the pew, sang from the time you was old enough to say anything. Sister Brianna, you probably know 5,000 scriptures. If a devil pinned you up, you'd probably beat him to death with the word of God. He'd come out of you so fast you wouldn't hardly know what she's doing. Now, y'all helping me preach here tonight? Ooh, I feel like preaching a little bit. I'm telling you what. Amen. There's no room in these pews for bystanders. You hear me? You say, well, brother, leave me alone. It's the only place I get to come and rest. This ain't no resting place. Hallelujah. Woo, this is the house of God. There's a work to do in the kingdom. There's souls to be won. Oh, but my Jesus just went, hey, he's coming back. And the same one that left and the one that told you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. Come on now. I tell you, we ought to get a resolve to get involved in this work. Amen. Not just this work here, but serving the Lord. Amen. I thought of Nehemiah. When I thought of this scripture, I thought of Brother Nehemiah. In the king's palace in a foreign country. Had a good job. High up job. He was the one that sipped the wine and tasted the food that went to the king. He was a main man. But I want you to notice, Nehemiah got a resolve to get involved. And I want you to notice four things about him real quick that he did, if I can remember them. I want you to notice the first thing he did that proved to me, oh, I'm about to preach to somebody here tonight. The first thing he did to prove to me that he wanted to get involved is he asked a question about his brethren in Jerusalem. And he asked his own blood brother that had came to visit him. And he said he had it made. But he got a resolve in his heart. He asked the question, how are my brethren down in Jerusalem? Bad news. The walls are broken down. The gates are burned with fire. And your brethren suffer great reproach from the enemy. He asked. How did it affect him? I wonder how it affected us. How does it affect us, the shape that our nation is in? Are you going to get involved? Come on now. We've heard enough preaching here tonight. Amen. Our country needs you. I said our country needs you. Amen. Come on now. We need soldiers on the line. But like I've told some Christian young men, amen, are full of patriots. I said, you know, there's probably a lot of young men voluntary, but there's not many who'll get on their knees at home and pray their safety coming home. That would be a good job for somebody. I wish somebody help this preacher tonight. Amen. I'm not giving up on you now. Amen. Come on now. I want to help you a little bit with this sermon. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost to do it. Amen. It's time we got a resolve, a determination, no matter what the cost. Amen. To do what God has called us to do. Hallelujah. First Nehemiah asked. He inquired. He got information. Before there's ever a reformation, there's got to be information. But we don't care about anybody hardly but ourselves. Come on now. I know we're full of communication. We've got Facebook and MyFace, Google, people even text. I even have preachers text me knowing I can't text back. Information age. Amen. All kinds of information. Gossip. I can't hardly stand that Facebook deal. I'll just tell you right now, too much talk to me makes me nervous. Huh? Going to the garden. The whole world knows. They're going to the garden, pass it on. Going to the garden, pass it on. Maybe I don't want the whole world knowing I'm going to the garden. Huh? Going to the bathroom. Whoa. Too much information. Huh? Grilled cheese for lunch. Who cares? I think it's wacky myself. Now, if you enjoy that, God bless you. Just don't sin. But I'll tell you what, a whole lot of talking, there's going to be some sin and come in there somewhere. Now, I'm just going to tell you about it.
Amen. But here's the information. God does not want us to be silent to one another. He wants us to speak often to one another. He wants us to inquire. He wants us to get information. Brother Mark, how are you doing? And before you can get it out, I can say, well, my lumbago's acting up on me. And you're thinking, give me time to tell you how I'm doing. You ever have anybody say, well, how you doing? You start telling them, Brother Henry, and they look over your shoulder and see what's going on out here, and you get the idea, they don't care how I'm doing. Am I doing any good, Brother Don? Pray for me, buddy. Hallelujah. Pray for me a little bit. Amen. He inquired. He got information. I'll tell you what. We need to ask some questions. And then you know what Nehemiah did next? He got involved. Amen. How? The Bible said he sat down and wept. And he cried. Real tears. You know, you're not going to help me if you don't cry for me. You preach to me, you can bust my hide if you're going to cry with me. If you ain't going to cry, forget it. I didn't hear it. He got a burden in his heart, and he began to weep. He wept so much, amen, that his king noticed his contrite spirit, and he said, what's the matter? My people are down there. Amen, are you going to help me? Amen, the next thing he did was pray for him. Amen, and then after he wept, and he inquired, and he prayed, amen, he got involved. He got on his horse. He rode through at midnight. He looked at the broken mess, and he said, we've got to do something about this. When was the last time you got up at midnight and took a prayer walk, amen, through your neighborhood and said, God, somebody's got to do something about these people going to hell, amen. God help me preach. What are you doing? Nobody will hire me. Nobody will hire you. Go to the field, I'll hire you. I'll pay you what is right. Come on, church. Somebody say amen tonight. I want to preach to you if I can. Amen. It's time to get a resolve. We get so determined about everything. I would just like to ask some of you hard workers, just like it is on the job, when you realize you're going to have to put a little extra effort to get it done, and you can do it. I want to encourage you to put the same effort in your spiritual life. Amen. To get the Holy Ghost, to be sanctified, to be faithful to church, to be a soul winner. Oh, come on now. Somebody help this preacher tonight. Amen. I tell you, we need to get involved. Amen. We need to get determined. Amen. Why do you stand idle in the marketplace? There's a field that needs harvest. Now listen, we cannot survive many more services. We're just going through the motions. Huh? When we turn that hymn book open, it's time to worship God. Do you have a resolve when you go to God's house to worship? Are you determined, no matter what the cost, that when that altar call is made, that you're going to get your hide up off of that pew and get in that altar, and you're going to pray until you feel the touch of God somewhere? Oh, come on now. Is that not the right way to do or not? Somebody say amen. We're not going to run that far on talent. And I love to hear our people sing, testify. But we're not going to run far on talent. Amen. And we come to the house of God, we're not an audience. We're a congregation that come to experience the presence of God, because he promised that where I am, two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. We want to touch God and have God touch us. We want to be stirred in our soul. We want to hear the word of God and let it go straight to our heart. Let it construct something new in us, a new spirit, a new desire in our lives. Can you say amen? I thought about Elijah when he was in the cave and he decided to give it all up. You know what, God? You know how God cured that man? How many knows the cure God gave him? Anybody remember? He cured him. How'd he do it? How did he cure him? He gave him orders. Go to work. He didn't say, bless your sweetheart. Come here, honey. Let me hug you. People's been mean to you out there. Let me rub your hurting spot. Here, he didn't say that. He said, go anoint Jehu and the king of Syria. I'll go anoint them with oil. That's what he just gave him his orders. That's what God wants you to do right now. You listen to me. He wants to give you your orders. You need cured from that depression that's in, that oppression that's got you in the cave. The fear that's gripped you, that nobody's serving God but me, and you're just about ready to quit yourself. Huh? You know what you need to do? You just need to go, amen, report for duty and let God give you some orders and get busy in the kingdom of God again. Come on now. I'm not just talking about the preacher and those that are sitting in the king's chairs. Hallelujah. I'm talking about this whole audience. Amen. Congregation, should I say. Amen. I'm talking about the least. I'm talking about over here. Amen. This daddy with his little boy in his arms. I'm talking about this young mother here. I'm talking about this young grandmother here. How's that? All right. Praise God. I'm talking about everyone in this house. Amen. Preachers, fine. Teachers, great. Amen. How about those that just come? Amen. We need to get involved. I pay my tithes. Why do you pay your tithes? Amen. Where's the scripture that commands it? And amen. What does God promise? What's the promise of God? When you pay your tithes, do you do it with a cheerful spirit? Amen. Come on, do you acknowledge that God has blessed you because of it? How about that witness in your life? Do you tell the man you work with once in a while that he needs the Lord in his life and he can find him? Amen. Do you pray for your preacher? Do you pray for your church? Do you call those that are laying out and ask them, amen, are they okay? And what you can do? Amen. Some of us, our personalities are so sharp, it wouldn't even pay us hardly to call them. Amen. Because it'd make them so mad. But we need to get at this altar and pray through and get a resolve to get involved in the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Stand with me. God bless you. I got another sermon on that, but I won't give it to you all in one dose. I just about foundered you now, I think. Praise God, but we can be involved. You remember old Simon the Cyrene, just a bystander from out of the country? He'd been up there for the religious festivities. He didn't know anything about God. He was standing on the sidelines, and all of a sudden the man came up the hill carrying his cross, and he fell beneath the cross, and the Romans pointed at him and said, "You, the Cyrene, carry this man's cross." That's what needs to happen to you. It's come to church day after day after day and don't feel the pain of the cross. You need to be crucified with him. Am I preaching all right? I said we need to be crucified with him. Simon the Cyrene went home with bloody marks on his back and torn clothes for carrying the cross up the hill. How about your cross? Oh, we don't mind Jesus. That's what Jesus came for. Let him die for us. But the Bible, Jesus said, unless you take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. You want to get involved? Take up your cross. Am I preaching right? Somebody say amen, is it? I want us to ease on up around this altar without a song. I want you to get a resolve in your heart. You ought to make up your mind right now. I'm not going to let an altar call pass me again that I don't actually get on my knees somewhere and make an altar and pray about what I've heard. That'd be a good starting point tonight. When you hear the word of God, I want you to purpose in your heart, I'm going to live what that preacher has preached because it's the truth. And quit hypocriting around. Is that all right? Got to go to heaven, don't we?